some way.
Okay, we're here with Art Alexander and Phil Sluzer, a couple of local people that were actually there in D-Day, June 6, 1944. Is that correct?
Right.
All right. What outfit were you with now?
101st Airborne, 401, okay. 327th Glider Infantry.
Okay. I was at the 101st, 502nd A Company.
Okay. And I guess you could just start out by each of you telling me what you remember about that day. How did it start out for you, and what was it like?
Scary.
Yeah.
I mean, we were young kids.
How old were you at the time?
21, 22, somewhere around there.
Uh-huh.
So,
and what did you
in
know?
My books, all the fellas I knew that when we went in that night before D-Day, that we knew what we was going to expect, because mm-hmm. we was jumped behind the lines, and the gliders were behind the lines, so we had to wait before they could land on the beaches at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we was just there to harass the enemy, right?
Right.
Uh-huh.
And for a couple of days, I know I was on a road. There was three of us, and we were supposed to be there if we see any tanks or anything to stop the beach landings.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we went at the St. Mary Gleese, and I think he went at the Carradine, right?
Right.
So there was a period of where you were kind of uncertain what was...
Oh, it took you a few days, I'd say a day or so. When daylight come, mm-hmm. you knew where you could see things.
Right.
You know? Because there was all kinds of hedgerows over there. You could be on this side, and the Wehrmacht could be on the other side, the German troop. Be on the other side. And
have no way of knowing.
Yeah. Right.
Uh-huh. So you basically just camped out at...
We mainly roads and these two villages. I'm pretty sure that was our objective.
Mm-hmm.
Then the minute the landing forces come in from the beaches, they were the... once they come up to where we were,
mm-hmm.
then we was to pull back.
Mm-hmm.
And it took longer. What was it? 10, 12, 14 days we was there?
Yeah, about
before they pulled us out and sent us back to England.
Mm-hmm. Probably seemed like a long time, though.
Oh, hey. he could tell you.
Yeah.
And when we left Reading there, and he didn't know what day it was, but I know it was on my birthday we left Reading and went to Marshall area, and then on Portsmouth.
Uh-huh. And you were there for about 2 weeks?
No.
No.
But one day I saw it. It was...
They shipped you down and...
Get down there and get stayed overnight. Next morning was loading on the LCIs.
Okay, I mean you were over in Normandy.
Yeah, we didn't know that.
Right.
We were supposed to went on maneuvers because they had one of the maneuvers in, was it April or May?
Yeah, that's where they lost
Saipan Island. They were put our Germans intercepted. What is 4th Infantry Division?
Well, the 4th and the 1st.
Yeah.
That actually had Omaha and Utah Beach.
And, they got on the LCI, but they, it was in the morning. We landed on Utah Beach in the afternoon, and
mm-hmm.
there wasn't no action there. Mm-hmm. stayed there for maybe a couple hours to get organized and mm-hmm. took off.
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to go to St. Mary of Goose, and they diverted us to Carrington. That was our main object anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that night, we bivouacked out there in God's country, I don't know where.
Mm-hmm.
Next morning, they start walking. We got into Hedgerow. I was going to set up a position as an 81 mortars.
So. Mm-hmm. Heavy weapons.
Heavy weapons, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think heavy weapons.
We got a mortar barrage, and number one gunner, he took off. And I made a quick survey. I seen a dentation in the ground. I picked up the sight and dove for the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the thing was all over. Nobody got hit there.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I think of this, I gotta laugh.
Yeah.
I looked over the hedgerow. They had some men over the next hedgerow there. Here's a German running right down.
Uh-huh.
And he was trying to shoot him. He's gone.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you may maybe seen the movie D-Day, longest day.
Uh-huh.
That's why he was running. Every time I see that, think of it.
Yeah.
The only thing I can remember about when we took a bunch of prisoners, that they were Wehrmacht. They were regular German army.
Mm-hmm.
And they had these Nazis, they call them Nazis, that used to, so they wouldn't give up. The Wehrmacht was ready to fold up, but these Nazis would be there. They'd shoot their own men if they
uh-huh.
gave in. But they finally come to a point where they, with all the equipment that this country, Britain, and all of them put on the beaches there, that once they got rolling, got beyond the beach, your fortifications there, they got where they could, then they started rolling. And we always said that when they took us back to England, he's making another mission first. That was our division commander,
mm-hmm.
Taylor. So we always called him. He'd go back and get us a mission.
Mm-hmm.
Same way. He was in the States when McAuliffe at Bastogne. He said nuts to the Germans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a frightful experience. I know in my own books it was. You know, I'd wonder if I'd ever do them things again, what I'd done back then, you know, as a young fella. But
when did you feel like things were turning around?
About 3-4 days after, once everybody got organized, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You go in at night, and they drop you by plane, and like the gliders and everything, the parachutists, it takes you a while to get where you get your full strength, you know what I mean? You probably, I don't know how he did, we was 4 or 5 guys all that night,
mm-hmm.
just feeling ourselves around.
Mm-hmm.
And then when daylight come, it became a different picture,
mm-hmm.
you know. And they kind of lost a lot over there, the 101st and 82nd boat,
mm-hmm.
because they wasn't sure how it was going to pan out. And it's one of them things.
Mm-hmm.
But I, like I say, I know myself, I was scared.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe every guy who was riding that plane that night was holding himself to where he didn't know what the consequences were. Mm-hmm. But we was in there for one thing, just a scare tactic. That's what I feel it was, you know. Mm-hmm. So to disrupt the Germans from the landing beach. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I enjoyed my 5 years in the service.
Mm-hmm. Now, were you there for the whole war?
Yep.
Right from the start?
Well, not to the end of the war. I went from Normandy up to Holland, Eindhoven, Holland. And the 82nd was in Nijmegen, and the British Airborne was in Arnhem. And then after we got out, we were supposed to capture the bridges, which the 82nd Honored First did, but the British in Arnhem, they really took a shellacking. and then they pulled us out of there, and they brought us into France. And then France, they moved us along till one night, it was Christmas night or something, Bastogne. Battle of the Bulge. Mm-hmm. And from there, we went east. We went into Germany, east Dusseldorf, and crossed the Rhine. We were regular infantry then, if I remember right. Pontoon boats. We crossed the Rhine River into Dusseldorf. Then we went from there down to southern France. Now we went to Bastogne, then from the Bastogne we went to southern France. Then we started in there. I was down in Innsbruck, Birch's Garden, all through there. Mm-hmm. But I spent all my days with 101st.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Phil?
Well, after D-Day there, when we got Carentan secured, we bivouacked outside of Carentan about a half a mile or so, about 3 or 4 days, and 83rd come up through, infantry division, so we packed that and started moving towards Cherbourg. And we never got to Cherbourg. Bivouacked on some hill out there, it rained like heck. Mm-hmm. And now once we got orders to come back to England, loaded an induction, went, come back to England. Mm-hmm. Get some more training and replacement, mm-hmm. headed for Holland. Mm-hmm. That's one glider trip made me to Holland. We had between Eindhoven and Nijmegen, there's around a place called Veckel. Had to keep that road open for the British in 82nd. Mm-hmm. So after that, we come back in November, we went to France, Mormelin, Camp Mormelin, and from Camp Mormelin we loaded on cattle trucks and went to Bastogne. Mm-hmm. I still don't know where I was or nothing. It said, all right, get off. We're going
to
stay here for overnight.
Seemed like we walked into Bastogne and we were surrounded. Mm-hmm. It seemed like that, you know. You just walked into Bastogne and
mm-hmm. cut off. You didn't know where the heck it was. Said, all right, we're going to dig in and find a hole. We found a foxhole, right? Or a slit trench, rather. And Sergeant and I, we doubled up. Well, it wasn't bad. When I woke up in the morning, there was about 4 inches of ice around them.
30 below zero.
we walked and took, got another position and on a side hill. Still don't know where I was. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, second or third day up there, third or fourth day, a tank come by, our weapons carrier, flag, you couldn't see where I was. The insignia that wasn't on. Had they call a CP, see if any our equipment was around. Well, about a half an hour later, the 5-0 deuces come right down on top of us. Then I knew where I was. Mm-hmm. Around Kimmerall.
Mm-hmm. So, was there a different feeling after D-Day from that point on? Or, I mean, sounds like you were involved.
It was about the same. You're getting strange country.
Yeah. Didn't know where you were a lot of the time, and
I have to say, just like in Holland, that's all I remember. I know it when we landed, be somewhere between John and Vekel. Started up the road to British. They were on their coffee break or tea break, whatever you want to call it.
We were supposed to hold these bridges so the British forces could go up to go to Armagh, mm-hmm. You know. And so we had these bridges held, and so they could get from Eindhoven to Nijmegen, but from there up to Arnhem, it was a bad story. But what he's saying about the British, their tea break, no matter where they were or how much a hurry they were, they'd stop, pull over the side of the road, had their tea break. Now, the war didn't go on then.
Yeah.
And I felt sorry for them guys up in Arnhem, because I know probably what they went through up there. They mm-hmm. took a shellacking up there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah. After he went to Vekel, they were going to set up position again. We got some shelling there, but mostly a tree burst. They hugged the ground as close as they could, though it wasn't dug in yet.
Mm-hmm.
I got up and shook my head, and something rattling. The shrapnel was caught in the net, and I could feel it. Something like it landed on my butt, and it was warm, so it didn't penetrate. Yeah, we rounded down the corner there after trying to move. This is almost dark. 57 and a tank gun was on one side of the road, and Mark, a German tank, was on the other side, tipped over it. Almost big as this room, way it looked to me.
Mm-hmm.
So we went on further, but we crossed the canal. Still don't know where it was. But,
mm-hmm.
And it was on an island, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Were you there until the end of fighting in Europe?
We stayed there until...
I got out in ports.
End of November, come back to Moreland, and from Moreland we went into Bastogne. From Bastogne, we went up to Luxembourg. Didn't stay there very long. And it was now going down through Munich and down through there. And landed in Berchtesgaden, up on the Eagle's Nest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Stayed right there till. When Japan surrendered, we were supposed to go to parachute school to get her $50 more. I mean, well, we got $50 for the glider flight still.
Uh-huh.
But that never matured. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you?
Then I stayed till and sane. Yeah, we done some training there. till end of November. That's when they deactivated 101st. I was discharged from the States in December.
In December. I come home in, what was it, September? Yeah, I come home through Antwerp.
Mm-hmm.
Through Antwerp. I got a thing I come home, the Merchant Marine boat I come home on. They, when I got out on points, went to Antwerp, then they shoved us on this Merchant Marine boat to Quebec. That was in September, August or September?
Yeah, they started moving out in August, some of them, they went at high points.
Yeah.
Well, the old ladies, 82nd in for 2 men, and they had enough points. So.
I think I had somewhere around 55, 56 points when I got out.
So. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have any contact back home when all this was going on, when you were over there, or pretty much?
Oh, V-mail used to come if it catch up with you.
Mm-hmm.
You could write a letter, and wherever you stop, we always tried to send the letter home. And but we was on the move so much that it never caught up to us. When it did catch up to us, we had a stack of email.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you both have family back here in it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I lived up Maple Road up here.
Uh-huh.
That's why.
I'm originally from Usuga County, West Monroe.
Uh-huh.
So, got hooked up with her and moved over here to Ballinsville.
Oh, okay.
Well, it was halfway between Ballinsville and Syracuse.
Uh-huh.
And okay. On Peck Road, just a little ways up above from here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any other things you remember about D-Day itself? That
D-Day? That was a long day.
Like they say.
I always said it was a long day.
Yeah, that first night out, it was all right, nice and calm, but boy, when they started shooting them, screaming memes, made the chills run up and down your back.
What was you in the reserve regiment of the 101st Airborne Division?
Yeah, we stayed always in the reserve.
You come in after the landing troops come in then.
The paratroopers jumped at 8 hours at midnight.
Midnight, yeah.
And
a few minutes after midnight when
we were supposed to come in 5 hours later on the glider, but things got changed. They called the head rose, and while the general, he came in with the glider, he was headed for St. Mary. At least that was the main.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. General Pratt, we heard he hit the hedgerow, ended up killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And we had General Taylor, he was next in command.
Mm-hmm. So nobody got much rest that first night?
No, that was a long night for me.
Then screaming memes, you wouldn't get no rest. Yeah. Or the 88s when I started barking.
Yeah, you couldn't see yourself, you know. And if you walked down this hedgerow, you didn't know what you was going to run into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there could be a tank sitting down there, like I saw one time. We went down this hedgerow, and this tank was sitting there. But it was a good thing he had his gun turret. He was pointing out, I don't know what he was shooting at.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it was so blind in there. You worked from one hedgerow to the next, to the next, to the next. Then when you had an open field or something, you always had worried about snipers. They were real bad. I don't know whether you heard or, but I know I heard that the Japanese were learning Germans how to snipe. Mm-hmm. And they had a lot of snipers there. We lost a lot of guys. I'd see a whole squad in a hedgerow.
Deep plus one that morning when I got into mortar barrage, we went through a hamlet there. They must have had horse-drawn equipment there because everything was all on fire when we went through. I think it was named Poppinville. I wouldn't say for sure. Because things happen so fast they don't penetrate.
Right. Yeah.
But, and just before we got into Caratan, the instrument corporal, he come back to the medics and carrying his helmet. I looked at him, what happened to you? Shrapnel went through the helmet and hit him right in the forehead. So I don't know if he still alive or not. Then went through Caratan, that was all tore off to pieces. They said about a half a mile out of Caratan, there's on a side hill. We set up our bivouac there. That'll smart me. I said, well, I'm going down. I heard a bunch of engineers supposed to put a bridge down over the river. So he was the engineer for the second armor. I was going down and look at it. They start yelling, Caratan, the hell with that, come right back. It was nice and quiet there.
Now, he was, the airborne was a hit and run outfit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He'd go into this place and you're going to jump behind the lines. Okay. And you get behind the lines, then you got to wait for your other outfits to come up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the main thing in Normandy, that the boys on the beach, they caught hell.
Mm-hmm.
And it took them a few days before they got
orientated
to get to us.
Mm-hmm. The airborne, they jumped behind the lines, and well, so they wouldn't get to the coast or beaches. And cut off everything, and cut off railroad and
bridges. All your roads, anything for...
And keep the canals so they wouldn't flood the...
Yeah, that's how we had to get out of Holland. They flood the canals, and our foxhole filled up with the water.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole ground was wet, and they had to move us out of there.
I see, he's got a book there. Not that one, a little small book. Normandy.
This one here.
Let's see this over here, a map. Is. I don't even know where I was until I remember some of these map pictures. And I seen it last night. He had it. You been to Reims?
Yeah, I went to Reims.
Find it. Yeah, here, over here in Caratan, you come in Utah Beach right here. You come down from here, you're supposed to go to St. Mary Gleason from over here, but this is all, they tell us it was all flooded there.
Mm-hmm.
never got past Carrickton, but we started back over to Sherbury. I don't know which place we got off, and we got out back at the 7th Corps, 4th Armored Division, I mean 4th Infantry Division.
You got the glasses. I can't see none of this.
Utah.
Yeah.
There's Carrickton.
Yeah. St. Mary Cleese got to be somewhere over here.
Right there.
Yeah, right there.
Right there. Yeah.
See, these roads coming from the east, from Germany, they wanted to, so all this heavy equipment coming off the beaches, you know, ever run.
Mm-hmm. Over here it shows the 82nd has run St. Mary Gleason, 101st, just right around Carrickton.
Yeah, but right. We ended up. half here, half there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, the airborne scattered up and down.
I do have a 101st epic book of all the things we went through. From Normandy on through.
We were just talking about what it was like to land with the gliders.
Well, the glider landed, we had a pretty good place to glide and land it. You know, when we landed it, hit a ditch. Yeah, the nose sprung open at Hatch and Holland. And Staff Sergeant, I and my third gunner, he sat over this side and the rest of them sat there. And the first gunner, he was a acting co-pilot. And he didn't ever flew anything either. Now when we landed, this guy's out of getting me loose. And this guy, all three of us, were on top of this running thing, you know, trying to unbuckle that seatbelt.
Them gliders, in my books, were nothing but paper on the outside, khaki paper. Uh-huh. It's what it seemed to me. I see some down Fort Bragg. Down
Fort
there.
Bragg. Yeah. Well, when we were at maneuvers in Tennessee, they took the wheels off and put us on skids, landed in an old oak field. Out from the nose opened up. Heck, they had no butter. Put a dirt way back to my feet where I was sitting.
Did they used to put Jeeps and everything else in them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I asked that in Holland. I sat on the ground. I watched this glider coming around and the front nose flew open and a Jeep come running right out of it.
So I was saying, they had the 81 motors and they had the everything on it. Two-wheel cart, water and your ammunition and some food supplies. And that was all in all together, so you didn't have to worry about getting finding it.
Yeah.
And then we got vehicled, everything disappeared. You carried the 81 on your shoulder and ammunition too. Well, it was just the same as D-Day.
Uh-huh.
Come off in that LCI D-Day with 81 mortar on your back, the tube, 6 rounds of ammunition beside your mazette bag.
Uh-huh. Basically just what you could carry with you.
And a little more.
For me, it was a small guy. I had over 100 pounds on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we want to, well, we'd just like to thank Art and Phil for sharing your experiences on D-Day and what it was like, and we're glad you could come down here today.
Yeah. Thank you. Anytime.